Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for this, the third Sunday after Pentecost, is from Genesis chapter 3. It's right after the fall into sin, as God continues to approach Adam and Eve, calling out in mercy, and then declaring the consequences of sin. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in the second letter of the Corinthians, the fourth and fifth chapter. We have a continuation of our reading from last week, in which we're reminded, and Paul is reminding the Corinthians, when he came to them, he spoke to them very plainly, that they aren't preaching themselves, but they're preaching Christ, that in Christ the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is to be found. And yet we carry this around in jars of clay. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In a St. Mark, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. We have the confrontation between the seed of the devil, Beelzebub, and the seed of the woman, Jesus. He's being accused of being the very seed of Satan. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons he cast out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemes they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning to you, and grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ah, what joy it is, technology. No, that's not what this sermon's on. But I ask you, what is the best game in the world? Some would say it's chess. Some would say checkers. For the group that would met together on the Sunday afternoons in the winter, it's cribbage. It's a great game, even if you can't win. It's still fun. You know, for my generation, we love video games. Like Grand Theft Auto, Pong, Minecraft. But if you would talk to my nieces, it's Candyland. Again, a game I cannot win. Or Chutes and Ladders. Everyone can win that game, I assure you. But maybe it's something else. Well, look no further. I have a game for you. It's actually a really fun game, a tabletop game. It's called Dungeons and Dragons. Yes, I know, I'm a nerd. But it's a fun game. It's a game full of mystery, adventure, thrills. You can make it as easy as trying to get home and as hard as trying to get home. It's a game where friends come together. A game that's kept my friends and I from college together as we're spread across the nation. We get together once every Sunday online and talk, banter, play games, and have fun. It's truly an amazing game. It's a game where you get to create your own character, something like out of fiction, out of all the books, the literature that we read, where they can have an amazing backstory. You can be a sailor, a pirate. You can be a military person. You can be whatever. It's a great, great game, and anyone can play it. Now, I'm not trying to sell you to go out and go buy the stuff. I assure you, it is quite a lot of material to buy. But it's fun. It's great. It's amazing. What's better than spending a few hours with friends one evening if you all can meet together at the same time? Now, whenever you listen to someone, when they talk about this stuff, listen. Hear them out. Because they are sharing with you this joy that they want you too to enjoy as well. They want you to explore adventures that they have gone on, to see a way and how to look at the world through fiction, to step aside from everything and to enjoy just a few hours of peace and quiet with friends. See, they will stop at nothing until you hear them out. Hear the joy that they have. Even despite hearing many times over, you're playing that game? You worship Satan? Whoa. I don't think we can hang out anymore. But that doesn't stop them. See, they look forward no matter what. No matter how much hate and how much grief they get for this game. They look forward to sharing the next adventure with the next victim. I mean, friend, person. But you know what's interesting about this? Is that in this mentality of sharing and spreading the news about Dungeons and Dragons is really not all that different from the way that we share about the news of Christ. See, the only difference is that Jesus and his promises are real. D&D truly is a fun game, an exercise of the mind, but it is only fiction. Yes, the game, the story, the adventure, all of it is just fiction. It's just a game. But the promises of Christ are real no matter what. The joy that all Christians have because of the freedom from the burden of guilt, of sin, that is real. The new life that all enjoy in Jesus through faith, that too is real. The robe of righteousness that we receive through the waters of holy baptism, that is real. The real presence of Christ in, with, and underneath the bread and the wine, that too is real. And because of this faith that we have in him, all that we can do is share it. To share the rich blessings and the promises that we have received and guaranteed, we can share that to our neighbor. And this is what Paul gets at in this portion of his text to the Corinthians. See, already Paul has addressed this congregation in his previous letter about the abuse of freedoms that they've misunderstood. Already he has addressed the problems of hypocrisy or leaving the faith out of fear. And already he has dealt with this many, many times over. But here he comes to a point, addressing them, encouraging them, emboldening them to share the faith that they have, to speak about Christ, to tell the good news of the gospel to anyone they meet. Really a chance for it to go spread further into the continent of Europe, amongst the traders, amongst the Romans, the soldiers. And listen to what he has to say, because it really is encouraging. Now, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Wow. So what drives them to speak about Christ? Is it money? Better social standing in the community? How about the 40 days that they talk about where Jesus came after the resurrection and stayed amongst the people? Sorry, there is no money guaranteed. Better social standing is not guaranteed either. And more than likely, this congregation was not present during the 40 days of after the resurrection. More than likely, this congregation has never heard of Christ until Paul came to them. And more than likely, a portion of this congregation was born years after the ascension. But yet they have not heard anything else, anything different than what Paul is talking about. Paul encourages them to talk about the crucifixion, the resurrection. Paul directs them to the same Lord who was raised, is in fact the same Lord that Paul, that David himself, boldly and confidently trusted in as well. Paul directs them to the one truth, the same truth that has not changed for thousands of years. See, they have received an amazing gift. They have been bought, removed from the darkness of this world. And now they enjoy the same blessings that Paul has received. The same blessings that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob received. For this faith is nothing new. It's not a new gospel. It's not something pulled out of thin air. It is the one truth that has held the same throughout history. It is one spoken and proclaimed by the prophets of old. And these Corinthians get to share in the fulfillment of these promises. As Paul preached to them for their sake, so too are they to proclaim to the world for the sake of their neighbor. So too are they to share regardless of what they encounter, regardless of who their neighbor might be, Roman or otherwise. And regardless, they are to share despite the hatred that they will receive because of this faith. Yes, this faith, they are emboldened to share it. They are emboldened to preach it, to proclaim it, to hold fast to it. For these blessings, these rich promises are theirs through faith. It doesn't change. But yet, they encounter those who don't want to hear this truth. They encounter those who have no desire to leave the darkness of this world behind, who have no desire to embrace this gift of freedom, this gift of life. Because a large portion of this world rather believe a lie than to believe in the truth that is found in the gospel of Christ. And for this very reason, those who have no desire to share in the joy that you and I have, make it their sole mission to steal that joy, taking pleasure in doing everything they can to remove it, to convince the faithful become the faithless. And if that doesn't work, they will do whatever they can to just settle the stock, to just settle the racket of the gospel, to keep it from being spoken, to keep it from being preached from neighbor to neighbor. Stop it from preaching against anything that might be seen as sinful or wrong in thought, action, or in their words of all things. As Paul continues, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. To say that this life of faith is easy will be a lie. Sure, you and I are given new purpose, new meaning, new life, new motivation because of Christ. We have new life, hope, an eternal promise that is made ours. Perks of being a new creation in Christ. Yet this life comes with dips in the valley, ruts that seem to grow larger and larger, that feel rather suffocating from time to time. Yes, we are faced with pressure from society, our neighbors, and the media in all its forms to leave this faith behind. We face this pressure pushing from all sides into us, like the outer walls, those barriers that we have put up might crack. So like an old coffee mug, you know, regardless of how much you love it and use it, even the tiniest crack will start to form eventually. But that shouldn't be surprising. The struggles that you and I face are just a sliver of what the early church faced. Even Paul's audience faced greater struggle than you and I. And the Corinthians were subject to this more than what we face in this world right now. See, the early church is marked with stories of the faithful having endured so much struggle, so much hate, because they placed their faith, their trust, and the promises of Christ rather than the lies, the false religions, and the idols that are found throughout the world, and at this time found throughout the Mediterranean. See, for many, they were arrested. Others were beaten into fear to deny Christ. Others were driven from their homes, their families, even treated as outcasts, sent away. And even many more were made martyrs, such as Stephen, because he proclaimed Christ as Lord. He held true to the fact that the promises of Christ were his, and he wanted to share that. And because of that, he was stoned. And many more faced even greater cruelty at the hands of the Romans, as recorded both in Scripture and throughout the books that we have of recorded history. Yes, this world will do whatever it can to tear us down. It works to crack us, to break us like clay pots. Even so, as Paul says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. You know, many will not like the great news that we have to share. Many have no desire to hear any of it, but desire for us to stop. But we shouldn't. It should not stop you and I from sharing the gospel. We shouldn't stop because of these afflictions that we face, from all the heartache that we endure. We shouldn't stop. And we can't stop because what awaits us is greater than the afflictions that we face. What awaits us is greater than the struggles that we endure. See, as we keep moving throughout the end of this chapter, Paul directs our attention to what is to come for the people of God. The promise that they have to dwell in the presence of God forever. He makes it very clear, for he says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are seen are eternal." You know, by now I have to assume that many of us are acquainted with suffering in its many and numerous annoying forms. We know what it means to lose loved ones. We know what it means to be rejected by society. We know what it means to be rejected by those who are once friends, even by other Christians, or those who say they are Christian. See, suffering is nothing new for you and me. It's nothing new for those who profess Christ. It's not like once you become a Christian, everything goes smoothly. It's more like a painted target is on the back, or a kick me sign that's placed there, like you saw in middle school. But even so, the Apostle Paul is right in saying that in all that we endure, and all that we suffer, it's just a momentary affliction. This will pass. The struggles, the troubles, the afflictions that we face in this life, they will come to an end. Yeah, at the moment, they seem to overshadow the gift of Christ, the gifts that we receive, the blessings, the promises. But they don't. Nothing overshadows what we have in Christ. Because of this faith that we have in him, you and I can look past these troubles, look past these struggles towards the amazing glory that awaits us because of what has been promised in Christ and what he has done for you and for me and indeed for all of creation. For it was Christ that took that punishment. It was Christ who died and was raised by God. And that is what awaits you and me. New life. Eternal life with him forever. And we can say that with full confidence. For the promises of Christ are made ours through faith, given to us in the waters of holy baptism, where you and I were baptized in Christ's death and resurrection. We, with full confidence, can look towards the glory that awaits us. We, with full confidence, we can look past what we face in this life. For our focus is not on the things of this world, but on the things to come. For that that is eternal. And that is the gift of new life. Life forever with him. See, all these distractions will come to an end. All of the pressure that lead to leave the faith and to become the faithless will not last. All of this will be over soon. It's amazing that the gifts that we have in Christ, it's amazing that the promises that are yours and mine, given and upheld by Christ, the faith that we have in Him, this common Christian faith that we have is amazing. It truly is. Yeah, at the beginning of this sermon, now I told you about my love for tabletop games such as Dungeons and Dragons. And I will encourage you all to play it sometime if you so desire. Because it really is an amazing game. But even so, for as amazing as this game truly is, it pales in comparison to the glory that awaits in Christ. It pales in comparison to the promises, the rich blessings that are yours and mine. Nothing comes close to what awaits us. But you know, even though we say things, look towards others, we look towards the amazing gift that we have. See, because of this faith, we will speak about Christ, even when it hurts. But we can do that because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We look forward to what Christ promises. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.